Brilliant. So the navigator is showing us that it's time for our message. So do take your seats and make yourself comfy. But don't make yourself too comfy, because this morning I've got some actions that I want to teach you to help me explain the message. So we've got three actions and then three stories to encourage us this morning as we look at this really big question of what does it mean to be a disciple? So last month, if you were with us, we looked at our first session in the Way of Life, and it was all about being the body. And today we're moving on to being a disciple. And disciple is a really long, complicated word. So this morning I'm going to look at three things that disciples do. And the first thing that disciples do is that they follow. So if you're able, I want you to try and do this action with me. I'm going to get two fingers, and I want you to make the one finger follow the finger behind. So, I mean, my finger's going all over the place, and I can't really control it, but I wonder how you can get your finger to behave. But disciples follow. They don't follow anyone. Who do you think disciples follow? Jesus, yes, there's a few nervous whispers. Disciples are people that follow Jesus. And if you remember, the disciples who we read about in the Bible, Jesus said to them, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So the first disciples were called to follow Jesus, to follow him really close, and to go wherever Jesus called them. And to encourage us this morning in this, I want to tell you the story about this person. I don't know if we've got a picture of. Some of you might have heard about this person. This is Jackie Pollinger. Has anybody ever heard of Jackie Pollinger? Very good. Okay. Well, Jackie Pollinger, when she had finished university in the 1960s, she wasn't sure what she wanted to do with her life. She really wanted to follow Jesus, and she thought that she wanted to go and be a missionary in Africa. But she applied to lots of missionary organizations, and they all said to her, "No, you can't go to Africa. That's not where we think you should go." So she kept on speaking to people, and she kept on talking to people and asking where she should go. But nobody knew where Jackie Pollinger should go and what she should do with her life. But she kept following Jesus, and she kept trusting him, and she believed that Jesus was calling her to go and work overseas. So one day she went to see her vicar, and her vicar said to her, "I think you should go and buy a ticket, a one-way ticket, to get on a boat and to travel to the other side of the world, and keep praying, keep following Jesus, and when he tells you to get off the boat, get off the boat." So that's exactly what she did. She went and bought a one-way ticket. She was only in her early 20s. She got on the boat and she kept praying to Jesus. She kept trying to follow him every day and ask Jesus when she should get off the boat. And eventually, she found herself, I don't know if you can see very clearly in the background, in a place called Hong Kong. Now, has anybody ever been to Hong Kong? Yeah? It's the other side of the world, and it's got a slightly complicated history because it used to be part of China, and then for a little while, this part of China got given to the UK, or taken by the UK. But there was a tiny city in the middle of Hong Kong called the Walled City, and this still belonged to China, but the Chinese government didn't want anything to do with it. So Jackie Pollinger got off the boat, and she found herself living in this walled city where there was lots of poverty, there were lots of people who were addicted to drugs, lots of people who needed lots and lots of help. But she made her home here in the walled city, and she found that she had an amazing ministry, especially to people who were hooked on drugs and needed help. And her ministry is still going today in Hong Kong. It's still working with people on the streets of the city. So isn't it amazing that because Jackie Pollinger followed Jesus, she was a disciple who followed Jesus, she found that she was in exactly the right place at the right time. She got off the boat in exactly the right place, and she went on to do amazing things for Jesus in Hong Kong. And sadly for me, I haven't been taken to Hong Kong. I'm here in Ely this morning. But I have to tell you, I ended up here because I followed Jesus as well. I followed him, and I'm here today. And I know it might not be as exciting. I'm not working with gangs of triads who are hooked on drugs and different stuff. But here, I honestly have to tell you that I have so much fun here, and it is a really big adventure. There are hard days, but I really believe that I see God's faithfulness every single day. So this morning, the first thing I want to encourage us to do is to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple, to follow him and to see where he'll take us and what we end up doing. So can you do that action again? Follow? Yes? Oh, we've got some very good following. Brilliant. So disciples are people, I think, who follow, but the next action is that disciples are also people who, are we ready for it? Grow. Now, we had great discussion this morning in our meeting about how to do an action for growing, but I want you to imagine this is a plant pot. So you need to wrap your hand round like this, and this is going to be your plant, okay? So your plant's going to come up underneath, and it's going to grow really big. Can you do that? So let's try that again. So we all look nice and calm. And we've got our plant pot. And disciples are people who grow. Brilliant. Well done, everybody. So I've got another story to tell you. And this time, we've got another picture of this person. He's got a great beard. This is my aim, to grow a beard, to be like this person. I wonder if anybody knows who this is. This is a person called George Muller. And just like I got sent for a few years, George Muller got sent to an equally exciting place. He got sent to Bristol. I mean, yeah, exactly. We've got a few dodgy people from Bristol here this morning. Yeah. Well, this is where George Muller went because there was a lot of need. He was working in the 1840s. And at that time, there were lots of orphans, people who didn't have mums and dads, that were living on the street. And George Muller thought, well, I need to do something about this. So he decided he was going to set up a go and live there and make sure that they had a safe place to live and they had food to sleep and they wouldn't be in any danger. But the thing was, George Muller, he had to grow in his faith, just like our plant grew. George Muller had to grow in his faith and make sure that he trusted God enough to do this. And there was one day near the start of George Muller's journey, he just started out, and you can read this in his journey, in his journal, and he sat down all the orphans for breakfast, and there were about 250 orphans all sat down waiting for breakfast. And the person that was in charge of cooking came to George Muller and said, I don't have any food to give the orphans. I don't know what we should do. So George Muller got everybody to sit down, and he made them say grace, and he prayed that God would provide them for food that morning. And just as he finished the prayer, this is a completely true story, just as he finished that prayer, there was a knock at the door, and it was the baker from down the road. And he came to George Muller, and he said, I don't know why, but in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I decided that I should bake you lots and lots of bread because I thought that you'd need it today. So George Muller said, wow, that's amazing. Come on in. And he brought all the bread in and he gave bread to all the children. So they had something to eat, which was great. But then there was another knock at the door. And can you guess who was outside this time? Any ideas? Who? The rota. The grocer. I wasn't the grocer, but it was. Someone said it over here. It was the milkman. And the milkman knocked on the door. Very close. The grocer might have milk, I suppose. But the milkman was outside, and he knocked on the door and said to George Muller, you'd never guess what, but my cart that I've been pushing, the wheel's fallen off just outside the orphanage. So all this milk is going to go to waste. Would you like some milk? And George Muller said, yes, please, that would be great. So he brought in the milk, and all the orphans ate. They had bread, and they had milk for breakfast. And this was just the start of the journey, because over the course of his lifetime, every time George Muller needed anything, whether it was money, whether it was a building, whether it was someone to help him, he would always pray. He would always pray. And his faith started off really small, but just like our plant, it grew, and it grew, and it grew. And eventually, in the course of his life, George Muller helped over 10,000 orphans in Bristol to find somewhere safe to have a really good start in their life. And I'm sure when he first started off, when that first breakfast came about and he didn't have anything to feed the orphans, he must have been really nervous. But his faith grew and grew and grew. And it's exactly the same for us. If we're following Jesus today, I'm sure that our faith will grow as well. Quite a few years back now, I'm getting older, and I keep forgetting this was about 10 years ago. I was about 21. It's a bit of an embarrassing story, but I ran out of money. I hadn't budgeted very well, and this was my first job after university, and it was a week before Christmas, and I had just enough money. I'd bought my train ticket to go home to Wales, and I thought, well, I'll go home, and then when I'm at home, I'll just sponge off my parents over Christmas, and then I'll get paid, and I'll come back in January. But I didn't have quite enough money to buy people very good presents for Christmas, and I was a little bit sad and a little bit upset about this. So I decided that I was going to pray. So I prayed to God, and I said, God, this is really silly and really stupid, but I've run out of money. I don't really know what to do, and I don't want to just have to rely on my parents. Can you help me? And I forgot about the prayer. But when I got home the next day, there was a letter that had arrived that morning in the post for me. And I opened it up, and at this age, I was about 21, 22 at the time. And when I was 16, so quite a few years ago, I used to have a Saturday job at Argos. I think I've told some of you this story before. I used to have a Saturday job at Argos, and for some reason, I had paid tax on all the earnings that I had accumulated whilst I was Argos, not very much. But then, for some reason, HRMC had decided to rebate me, and the letter arrived on that day that I got home. And so on the doorstep as I got home, there was a check for just under £100. And I was like, oh my word, God, it's like you heard my prayer. So I was able to go and buy people Christmas presents. And that, to me now, is a really small prayer. When I think about some of the things I'm praying about at the moment and trusting God with, they're much, much bigger. And God is teaching me stuff, and he's growing stuff in me all the time. So disciples are not just people who follow Jesus, but they're also people who grow in Jesus. Can you do that action again? Grow in Jesus and trust him with everything in their life. So following, growing, and last but not least, we are people who overflow. I don't know if you remember in our reading from Colossians, it said this: if you put your roots down in Jesus, your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. And I'm not sure if you've ever had a really nice chocolate cake. Have you ever had a nice chocolate cake? Yeah. Well, sometimes if I have a really nice chocolate cake, I can't help but tell people that I've had a really nice chocolate cake. So I say to people, have you tried that new cake in Cafe Nero, the new chocolate cake, because it's really, really good. I really suggest that you go and tell you go and try some of that chocolate cake. And it's almost as if it overflows because I'm so excited about the new chocolate cake. Well, it's the same thing, I think, with Jesus in our life. If we're following him, if we're growing in him, it's very natural that we overflow in him and we tell other people about him. And that's what we were looking at in the video with Piers, Numbers with Piers. It was all about disciples who make disciples who make disciples. If you believe in Jesus, probably you'll go and tell other people all about Jesus and you'll overflow and tell other people about him. So our action for overflow, can you guess it, is overflow. Can you do that? Overflow. Very good. So one final story, and this time our story is about somebody called Corrie ten Boom. Here we go. Here's a picture of Corrie ten Boom. Now, she is perhaps my hero of all time. Corrie ten Boom, she lived in Holland during World War II, and she used to hide Jews who were being persecuted at the time by the Nazis in the shop where she worked with her family. Her family used to keep watches, so they used to hide Jews away so nobody could find them. And if anybody came round, like the police or people to inspect their house, they would always leave the house, but a message would always get back to Corrie ten Boom that would say, your watches are safe. And that was code for all the people that she was hiding and keeping safe. But if you read the book about her life that she's written, very sadly, one day the police came to Corrie ten Boom's house and they found all of the people that she was hiding in secret. And this meant that Corrie ten Boom was in a lot of trouble. And she got sent to a concentration camp, which is a little bit like a prison, but a really horrible prison, because the people that were there didn't have enough food and they were worked extremely hard. And many people died in these horrible, horrible places. But Corrie ten Boom, because she was following Jesus, she was a Christian, and because she was growing in him, even in one of the darkest and most awful places in the world, she overflowed for him. And she tells an amazing story about how a Bible was smuggled in to one of the rooms where everybody was sleeping. And so after the guards had gone to bed at night, every evening, she and her sister would get out the Bible and they would hold mini services whilst everybody was lying in their beds to encourage them to keep going and to trust Jesus. And so even in the really dark times, even in the times where it felt like everybody was about to give up, Corrie ten Boom and her sister, they overflowed with Jesus and they shone light into the darkest, darkest moments and they helped people to keep going. And I know in my life, I don't always overflow with thankfulness, but there are times and there are occasions where I have had the chance to talk to people and to tell them about my faith and to overflow into their lives. And that's actually always really surprised me that people are willing to listen and keen to listen. So this morning, as we go out and we consider what does it mean to be a disciple, we come back to our three actions. So I hope that we're going to be people who follow Jesus. Can you do that again? People who follow Jesus and know exactly where he's going, follow him everywhere he calls us. We'll be people who are growing in Jesus and learning more about him, learning to trust him more every single day. And last of all, people that overflow with Jesus. We overflow so much that we want to tell everybody else about him. So I think if we go back to our navigator now, we've got some time to discuss this in groups. And very simply this morning, I've told you three stories about three people, about Jackie Pollinger, George Muller, and finally Corrie ten Boom. Stories about people who were following, about people who were growing, and about people who were overflowing. And so I wonder if you want to turn to the people next to you, and if you've got any stories about times where you've followed Jesus, times where you've grown in Jesus, or times when you've overflowed to other people about Jesus, then why not share them in your group this morning to encourage people? And I'll draw us back together in about 2 or 3 minutes. So find someone next to you and just share for a few moments.